So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and gratitude. We live in a culture today that, how do you characterize it? There's a lot of ways you could characterize it. Very few of them are positive. But one of the ways you could characterize our culture is with the word entitlement. We are an entitled group of people. We think we deserve everything. We expect everything. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about y'all, okay? I'm talking in generalities here. But there is an astonishing lack of thankfulness in our culture. I mean, a Grand Canyon-sized void of thankfulness. I mean, there's all kinds of pithy things I could say to try to be funny, you know, commercials that say, get the credit that you deserve. Well, you only get credit if you pay it back, right? So if you hadn't been making your payments in the past, you don't deserve it. I mean, there's all kinds of things we could say like that. But I want to dig a little deeper into what gratitude is and what it actually means in your life, how it plays out in your life, how it affects you, how it affects how you live. Grateful people enjoy the peace of God. Because gratitude and peace are connected. You could say they hold hands. There's something about gratefulness in a human heart, the giving of thanks in a human heart, that is in a good way self-diminishing and God-exalting. Because a heart full of gratitude has come to a place to see that everything is not about me all the time. That there's a bigger story unfolding in the universe than just me and what I think I've got to have in order to be happy, in order to be content, or whatever. And so I want to make the assertion that as Christian people, as Christ followers, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate in our hearts a deep sense of gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and to learn to live out of the power of that gratitude every day, so that that gratitude is brought to bear on every aspect of life. Our families, our work environments, all of our relationships, how we steward our stuff. I mean, we're going to talk about it for a few minutes, and we're going to see that this is much more profound than just the way we've made it. It's a bigger deal than we think it is. And the admonitions in Scripture are astonishing. The Scripture is full of encouragements and admonitions and even commandments to give thanks. It's all over the Bible. So having said that, let's take a moment and pray, and we'll dive into this a little bit. And my goal here this morning is, in the Holy Spirit, to spark something in you, to spark something in your heart that wells up into a flame. And I'm not suggesting that we're not grateful. I am suggesting that it means much more and is much more profound than we know. So, Father, help me this morning in Jesus' name to communicate truth that comes from your heart accurately and with compassion and with great love and joy. And, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive it. And, Lord, we just want to repent right now, right out of the gate. Forgive us, Lord, when we're just ungrateful and we forget how blessed we are. So, Lord, we repent of that and we receive your forgiveness with great joy because you are the sin bearer. You're the one who forgives all of our transgressions. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Albert Einstein, here's a quote by him. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is though everything is a miracle. G.K. Chesterton, the great Christian writer at the turn of the 20th century, he wrote, "I would maintain that the giving of thanks is the highest form of thought and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." Now, wonder is a big word. We've lost that sense of wonder in our society, in our culture. We're going to talk about that for a little bit too. So let me just give you some scriptures to ponder. Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? "For he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever." So the scripture commands us to give thanks to God because he's good and he never, ever stops loving. If this were the only verse we had about the nature and character of God and how to respond to it, if it's the only scripture we had, we could live off that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 79:13. "But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise." Okay, as the people of God, we are sheep. And the Lord is our shepherd. And he's a very, very, very good shepherd. A kind shepherd, a faithful shepherd, a compassionate shepherd, a glorious shepherd. He feeds us, he blesses us, he protects us, he leads us. One of my favorite aspects of Psalm 73 is it says, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. We don't like that language because we're Americans. We don't like anybody to make us do anything. But the Lord causes us, makes us to lie down in the abundant place where there's green grass and clear water and peace. And that speaks to the Lord's sovereignty. The Lord is in charge overall, even in crazy times like this. By the way, the world has always been off the rails, okay? It's always been a train wreck. Ever since Genesis 3, it's been a train wreck. Just read your Bible, okay? So, "We, your people, the sheep of your pasture, we give thanks to you forever." So we can never give thanks to God enough. We are to give thanks and to continue to offer thanks and to give thanks one more time, to be in a constant posture of gratitude. We can never fill it all up. "Okay, God, I've given you thanks enough." No, we are to give thanks to him forever from one generation to the next. This is to be the position and posture of our heart and our life, is to give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." We were called to peace, by the way. And Paul here, the beloved apostle, says, let that peace rule in your heart. Let it rule. You have a role to play in the peace of God in your life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, here it is, and be thankful. There's multiple connections that we could go to in Scripture between peace and gratitude. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's that posture of our heart again. We give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. Why through Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the way that God has provided for us. The God-man, God became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was revealed in Moses. Grace and truth was revealed in Jesus Christ. So through the saving and sanctifying work of Christ, through faith in Jesus, and there's no other way to the Father, by the way. He is the only way. It's at once the most exclusionary word and the most inclusionary word, both at the same time. He's the only way, but that invitation applies to all who would put their faith and trust in him. So, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. God is your Father. He's a good Father. He's a glorious Father. He's a compassionate Father. Give thanks to God the Father through him. I could quote scriptures on this subject for a long time. Someone has said that gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. And I've thought about this. I thought about this at length. And I think this is correct. And to take it even further, I believe that you could say that thankfulness and gratitude is the garden soil from which every other virtue grows and finds nourishment in the human heart. Love flows out of gratitude. Kindness flows out of gratitude. Doesn't it? Truthfulness flows out of gratitude. Self-sacrifice flows out of gratitude. Gratefulness is the foundational. What is the best way to say it? Gratitude really is the soil of all human virtue. Because if gratitude is not present, where do these other virtues flow from? If you're lacking in gratitude in your heart, your default position is self-centeredness. It's hard to love out of a place of self-centeredness. It's hard to be kind out of a place of self-centeredness, right? It's hard to be generous out of a place of self-centeredness. And the scriptures are absolutely jam-packed with admonitions to gratefulness and thanksgiving, particularly the Psalms. Psalm 100, verse 4, is just one of many verses to be quoted. And it says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. So we have a connection here between gratitude and worship. Gratitude and worship of God are connected together. By the way, we were made for this. You were created as a worshiping creature. You were made to exist and live and find your being and move, as it says in Acts. You were created to know God, to worship him, to put your faith and trust in him, to rely on him, and out of that relationship, gratitude is flamed, is fanned. What is it about gratitude and thankfulness that is so powerful and life-giving? Well, there's There's several ways to answer this, but it starts with this. When you're grateful, you acknowledge that life in existence is not all about me. That there really is a bigger narrative. There's a bigger story unfolding than just my story. And that I am not a self-sustaining creature. All of us in this room, listen, all of us in this room are dependent upon other people in some way, shape, or form. And all of us are ultimately dependent, whether we realize it or not, or live like it or not, we're dependent upon God. It says in Colossians chapter 1 that God our Father upholds all things by the word of his power. Okay? So if you start from that place, if it's the word of God, the living word of God that upholds all things and holds all things together, that means that all subatomic particles are held together by the word of Christ. Okay? So the only thing that keeps reality from fracturing and separating and blowing apart is the word of God. To a more practical point, the only thing that keeps your heart beating one more time and your breath drawing in oxygen one more time and your brain, the neurons in your brain, firing and relating to each other so that you can actually think in a coherent way, is the word of God. Should the word of God ever stop, the word of Christ ever stop holding all of reality together, everything would cease to exist. So we are dependent creatures. We are dependent. We're not independent. We just think we are. And this posture of gratitude, it is a denial of self. It's an acknowledgement that we are needy and that none of us are an island to ourselves. And here's something else about gratefulness. It's soaked in humility. So, gratefulness and a humble heart, humility, they also hold hands with wonder. They also walk down the street together. Because humble gratitude acknowledges that something or someone has done something for you that you did not earn or deserve. There is no entitlement attached to gratitude. Gratitude says this: I am humbled by your thoughtfulness, your generosity, and your kindness. It's a way of considering self less and others more. Now you may say, well, I know all this. This isn't... No, we don't. We actually don't know it all. Because we only truly know what we live out of. Right? So one more thing about gratefulness and thankfulness and gratitude. It's attached to wonder. What I love about my grandkids, one of the things I love about them is how fascinated they are with just the simplest things. You know? And I find myself, like the other day, I took Henry, he's 4, and I took him for a walk. And just a simple walk in our neighborhood, and he had to pick up every leaf, every stick, every piece of trash. He had to climb up on every tree stump. He had to pet every dog that we passed. I mean, everything to him was just like a new discovery. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm like, where did that go for me? You know? Because the older we get, we lose that joyous sense of the miracle of existence. The miracle of being alive and experiencing creation and just experiencing the world that we live in. And it just becomes passé. It becomes ho-hum. It becomes, we don't appreciate it. I guess some of it is just human nature, and we take things for granted. But darn it, I want to fight that tendency. You know, I want to fight that tendency to take things and people for granted. When we first moved to Colorado a long time ago, back in the early 90s, and the first time we made that drive from Denver, you know, headed west, and you start climbing out of Denver on I-70, and, you know, it's all over the place. And there's a place where you get up to that second big hill or something, and there's this big mountain range that opens up. You know what I'm talking about? And I was just like, wow, that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And then from there, it just keeps getting more and more dramatic, you know? And then you go through Eisenhower Tunnel, and you come out the opposite side of the tunnel, and you've got Dillon and Frisco and all of that, and the lake and the water down there, and then the mountain surrounding it. And it's just like, wow, this is incredible. And then you keep going west, and you go over Vail Pass, and it's beautiful, and it's green. And then it starts to change because you start entering the high desert, but it's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. And you get to Rifle, and you got those huge monuments, and it's wonderful. And you get close to Parachute, and then you get to Grand Junction. You got the Grand Mesa. And it's different from what it was 2 hours previous, but it's still wonderful. And then you go through Debec Canyon, and you break out into the Grand Valley. You know, like the first time I ever did this, and I'm like, this is awesome. And I couldn't get over it. And now, I hate driving to Denver. And I hate to drive back. It sounds like some of you do too. And my point in all that is I've lost my sense of wonder over that drive. Now, I could probably get it back if I wasn't so self-centered about the other drivers and the trucks on the road, you know, and how everybody that drives faster than me is an idiot, and everybody that drives slower than me is a moron. You guys do the same thing, don't you? Y'all just pray for me. Just pray. I'm just a fallen human. So anyway, gratitude is connected to wonder. It's connected to this sense. Wonder is just this childlike quality of everything really is a miracle, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be alive, and everything is beautiful. It's defined as wonder is the feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, and inexplicable. And this applies to all things in life, common and uncommon, small and great. There's wonder associated with flowers and the smell of fresh bread. Niagara Falls, there's wonder, and there's sunset over the Rocky Mountains. A perfectly crafted epic movie fills me with wonder. A Mozart symphony. You know, I've been doing a deep dive on classical music past few years, and those guys were amazing. They really were. We don't have a whole lot of musicians like Mozart and Beethoven and Handel, Bach. I mean, I could go on and on. Rachmaninoff. Debussy. There's wonder associated with friendship. Are you grateful for faithful people in your life? They fill you with wonder. I said goodbye to a good friend yesterday. And some of you know him. He hasn't been able to attend. Rich and Jody Counts are moving to Arizona. And I had coffee with Rich yesterday, and he's had some health problems that he's come through, and he's doing better. Jody has her own problems. But Rich is one of just a handful of people who just, I've always felt like, just kind of truly gets me. Do you have people like that in your life? People that just, that, I mean, you got lots and lots of friends and you cherish them and you love them, but there's a handful of people that just get you and understand you, and you know you can like tell them anything. And even weird stuff, and they have a way of interpreting that so it's not quite as weird as you thought it was, and they understand why you said that. Well, Rich is a friend like that to me, and as we said goodbye, I had this sense of wonder and gratitude. God, thank you for a friend like him. Friends are hard to come by. So I challenge you, cherish and be grateful for those friends that God has placed in your life. Husbands and wives, be grateful for each other. Be filled with wonder about your spouse. He or she is a miracle. And he or she is God's gift to you. And serve them and love them and bless them. And some of you who have lost your husband or your wife, you know this is even more true because they're not here. And you remember, right? But as wonderful as all these things are that fill us with wonder and fill us with gratitude, they are but a shadow of a greater wonder. They're a shadow of a greater joy, a greater beauty, a greater miracle. And that is the gospel of our God as revealed in the person of Jesus. Listen to this glorious verse in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse. Let light shine out of darkness. What kind of language is that? What is that an echo of? That's an echo of Genesis 1, right? That's creation language. Let there be light. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," that same God who said that, he has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So even as God in his creative work in Genesis 1 is creating reality in the world, he is now shining, he's doing a creative work inside of us, shining the light of the knowledge of his glory as revealed in Jesus inside of us. That is so profound. Notice the initiative of God here. He is the one who reveals who Jesus is. He reveals Jesus to us. Listen, none of us find God. We don't find him. He finds us, and he reveals his nature and character to us, and we respond to that in faith. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. The simple truth that we even know who Jesus is, the simple truth that we even love Jesus and have put our faith in Jesus, is a gift from God, because he has shown in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. It's a gift. So here's what I want to say. Thank you, God. I am grateful that you found us, and that you called us, and that you drew us to yourself. Now, you can live out of that. I don't understand all of his ways. I don't understand how it all works. But God, our Father, is very, very good and merciful. He wants us to know him and experience him. He wants us to revel in the glory of the Father that is revealed in the person of Christ. I just want to quote, and we looked at it last week, or a week before, Philippians 4, 4 through 6, or actually 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So there's that connection again between thanksgiving and peace, right? Practically speaking, in your Christian life, when you're just all out of sorts and not experiencing the peace of God in your life, here's the first thing you should do. Sit yourself down and start being grateful on purpose, even if you don't feel like it. I mean, it's almost like you grab yourself by the collar and you sit yourself down in the chair and you force yourself to give thanks for all of the stuff that you know that God has given you and done for you. And you do that. And what that is just an act of raw faith. Because sometimes we will ourselves to believe once again what we already know to be true, but we don't feel like doing any of it. Right? I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I hate my emotions sometimes. I hate the place that my feelings sometimes take me. Because your feelings are not necessarily an indicator of truth or reality. Your feelings can deceive you. So if you're all out of sorts and you need the peace of God, start being grateful on purpose, even if you don't feel like it. Make it a practice. Gratitude is purposeful. I'm almost done. It takes discipline and effort to appreciate being alive. One writer said, "I've learned that at least once a day, I shall look steadily up at the sky and remember that I am on a planet traveling in space with wonderful, mysterious things above and about me, and I shall open my eyes and ears. Once a day, I shall simply stare at a tree, a flower, a cloud, or a person. I shall not then be concerned at all to ask what they are, but simply glad that they are and that they are in my life." And for the believer, you can multiply this by a million. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11, 33 to 36, and I'll close with this. Romans 9, 10, and 11, if you're familiar with that text in Romans, Paul is writing about the sovereignty of God and the purposes of God and the role of the nation Israel and what God intends for the nation of Israel, but furthermore, how God, through the gospel, is drawing all to the Son of God, and through the Son of God, all creation is going to be restored and renewed and redeemed and all of this. And it's like he gets overcome and he has this outburst at the end of Romans 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It's like Paul, he gets tired of writing and just says, oh, what the heck, I'm just going to write a hymn. That's what that is. It's just an outburst of praise because he just can't handle it anymore. Gratitude fosters this in your heart and in your life. Father God, we are so thankful to you for everything. We're thankful for people. We're thankful for what you've entrusted and put in our hands. We're thankful for you and who you are. We're thankful for loving us. Thank you that your love is steadfast and that it changes not. And so, Lord, would you do a fresh work in us this day, even as we celebrate with a meal in just a moment, a fresh work of thanksgiving and gratitude because of all that you have done and given to us. And may it spill out in all of our relationships, and may it be brought to bear to everything in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.